This sermon will be preached in Athens on the feast of Christ the King, the 21st of November 2021. The readings are Daniel 7, verses 9 to 10 and 13 to 14, Revelation 1, verses 4 to 8, and John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Pilate asks Jesus if he is a king, king of the Jews. He would be very interested in the answer because the Roman authorities had already appointed their puppet king as king of the Jews. The Roman Empire had a certain latitude in the way it assimilated its citizens and subjects over such a huge expanse of landmass, but one thing they could not tolerate was insurrection. So news of an alternate king would have been troubling. We know from St. Matthew's account on the journey of the wise men that it deeply troubled puppet King Herod, whose duplicity and cruelty knew no boundaries. He tries to trick the travellers into sharing the location where this so-called king had been born, and when they withhold the information by going home a different way, he orders the massacre of all young male babies in his puppet kingdom. Joseph and Mary, warned in a dream, fled to Egypt until it's safe to return. Pilate puts the question to Jesus on the day when he will order the crucifixion of his visitor, the one who's visiting his headquarters. The inscription nailed to the upright support of the cross on which Jesus will hang says, "The King of the Jews." It's a mocking title, I think, and the wording is designed to turn the Jews against Jesus. Like much of politics, words can be the most effective method of divide and rule. For Christians, Jesus is Christ and King. Both such expectations run like seams of gold through the writings of the Old Testament scriptures, so there's nothing new to be discovered by the followers of Jesus, except that Jesus is the one. Both the reading from Daniel and the reading from Revelation, both in the apocalyptic tradition, refer to the great vision of the descent of God's anointed sweeping down in glory with clouds swirling around him. Revelation names him as Jesus, who is ruler even over the kings of earth, announcing the good news of a new reign on earth, a new world order, one that will turn all human aspirations of power and wealth on their heads. It is the kingdom of God that is being announced, and Revelation goes on to say that we, the baptized, are anointed as priests of this new kingdom. If Christ is king, what is the kingdom? What part do we have in the kingdom as its citizens? What should our characteristics be? And what is the identity of such a citizen? In his teaching, his parables, Jesus directs us towards a deeper understanding of what citizenship is like for those who follow him. When we hear the word kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, there's a great temptation for us to equate the kingdom with somewhere else, with a sort of existence that somehow doesn't relate to us here and now. Some might be tempted to think that this is not a place at all, a utopia, almost a pie in the sky place, a heavenly realm where everything is perfect in ways that do not relate to our reality. On account of this detachment from the kingdom, we find reasons not to delve too deeply into what the values and identity of God's kingdom really are. Scripture gives no evidence of this sort of divide. The parable teaching of Jesus offers no evidence of this divide. The final action of Jesus puts the kingdom in a time and a place. This is no utopia. Just because Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this world," Revelation 18:34, does not mean that it's not to be discovered and located in this world, around us, and in our realities, because the kingdom breaks through and illuminates our normal. When the kingdom of God is referred to in Scripture, it is really rather mundane and surprisingly, maybe shockingly, down to earth, at times even quite dull. The Old Testament, for example, characterizes the kingdom as living a life fairly, cheating neither God nor neighbor. It directs us to simple decency, balance, measure, all things that we like to receive from others, so why not give it in return? This is a glimpse of a heavenly reality, yet in ordinary terms, here and now. In the parables of Jesus, we are given fresh, compelling, and everyday insights into living in the kingdom way. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, a fishing net, a late arrival needing some food, a lost coin being found. It's like a mustard seed, treasure buried in the ground. It's like the Samaritan who comes to the aid of someone who has been mugged. It's like someone having just and respectful employment without abuse or exploitation. It's like a little child, innocent and trusting. The list goes on and on. So how many hints do we need in order to qualify as citizens of the kingdom of heaven? Those who gave to Jesus the name King and nailed this name above his head had clearly just not got it. The leaders of the people, the elders, the so-called shepherds of the people, had clearly just not got this vision of the kingdom. They are the ones who offer the sour wine in place of the new wine of the kingdom. The hallmarks of the kingdom are the very kingdom values that we are each called to in and through baptism. But these are not values that exist in a baptismal utopia, some esoteric location that God has set aside to tend only to perfection. We are called to be fellow workers with God for a kingdom that is to come here on earth as it is in God's perfection. We pray it so frequently, but without perhaps fully realizing its implications. This King, in whose kingdom we are fellow citizens, is a king whose throne is a cross and whose scepter is the power of love. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.